Thank you for joining the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our worship today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Have you ever heard the statement, "You will find the church within the church"? That's what I'd like to visit with you about in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you that you have established the church on this earth, and that you, Lord Jesus, have said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." We realize that that is not a promise that goes to any particular denomination, nor any individual congregation, but that body of Christ that you have placed here on this earth through the work of your Holy Spirit, that it will continue until you return. Lord, bless the church, and grant today that, working through the Word of God, the Holy Spirit may continue to build that body of believers in Christ Jesus. For it is in your name that we pray. Amen.
The church is one foundation.
Music today comes from the St. Olaf College Choir and the Holland Chorale. We thank them for this great contribution. And the text for the sermon is found in the 125th Psalm. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, the pages of history, the morning newspaper, and our personal contact with men and women who are members of a Christian congregation sometimes presents to society disappointing pictures of the church. Today, we hear the scriptures describe the church, and it says it is made up of those who trust in the Lord. And they are like Mount Zion. They cannot be shaken, but they endure forever. In other words, the Bible describes the church. Now, I realize that this is in the Old Testament, and those words were written sometime between 1440 BC and 586 BC, and the church was born in about 30. That we have here an Old Testament prophetic picture of those who make up the church. And they are then described as people who cannot be shaken. And they stand in that characteristic forever. Now, someone who reads a newspaper or reads history, or even observes the church, a given congregation in your town, might respond this way, come off in it. Be real. This is not the church. And yet this is a description that the Bible gives of that body of Christ established here by the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we use the Psalm 125 to try to clear up just a little bit this fuzzy picture of the church? There is what we call a visible church. That is a church that has built a nice building, has a fine congregation, and you may belong to it. It could be any one of the churches. It could be the Methodist Church or the Baptist Church or the Congregational Church, and it has 500 members. That is, if you lined them all up in a row, there would be 500 people. Now, within that congregation, perhaps 300 of them are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Across the street and down two blocks, we'd say here's the Lutheran Church or the Presbyterian Church. And here you have congregations that make up about 400 people. Line them up, and that would be your count. And there are 200 who are believers in Christ. So you would say if you took that first congregation with 500 and the second congregation with 400, there would be 900 church members in that particular town. However, of the 500, 300 are believers. Of the 400, 200 are believers. So that means that really there are 500 members in that church, according to the Bible. And now you notice I used the word that church. It is not churches. For as far as the scriptures are concerned, any person who is a baptized believer in Jesus Christ is a member of the church. And God is not dealing with denominations. Believers in Christ Jesus, they are the members of the church. I once had a visit from a friend, and I'm sure that I've used this before in my many years on Christian Crusaders, but it bears using again. The friend came to my office one day, and we began to talk about the church. He said, you know, you can really take a look at the church and break it into about four categories. The first you would subdivide into three categories. I would call them the company of the committed. These are people who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. They belong to the congregation. The fourth group you would call the seekers. They love the church. They're faithful in the church. But they have never come to the place in their life where they have, by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, received Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. The fifth group would be the respecters. They don't want to have too much to do with the church as far as its personal message is concerned. Now, they don't want to become too involved with this Jesus, and they don't want to talk about the cross, whereby they have the forgiveness of their sins and the promise of life everlasting. They'd rather go according to that unbiblical definition of universalism that all people are going to go to heaven. What's the rest of this all about? But they are respecters, and they will do much for the church. They want their children in Sunday school. They want them in the Boy Scout troop. They come to church occasionally. They are members of the congregation. They contribute. And then there is a sixth group. And these are the people who have joined the church, I like to say, for ulterior motives. They come to town and they're involved in some kind of a business. And they want that to grow. And it's good for them to belong to a church. And so they have joined a particular congregation. Or it might even be, as one fellow used to say to me, you know why I joined the church? I joined and promised to come during the fall part of the year when the football season was on. And if I went to church then, my wife had promised me that she would let me alone when the football games were on. That's really why he belonged to the church. He cared less about Jesus Christ and what the Lord Jesus had to offer him. He just was a part of the organization. He joined other organizations, too, to help him in his business, and why not the church? So there you have the company of the committed, which we have subdivided into three groups. Now, my friend, who gave me this outline, and I don't think he really realized that he was giving it to me when he did, at least he said he didn't, has said that the reason that we have three groups is that as we live in the Christian faith, we grow in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those people in the church who have always known Jesus as Savior and Lord. If you happen to be of that persuasion, and I am, God entered into a covenant relationship with you at the baptismal font. And then you were fortunate, as I was, to be born in a home where father and mother took you home after the baptismal service and began to introduce you to Jesus Christ, so that it was at the feet of your fathers and your mothers that you learned to know the Savior and that Jesus had died for you. Then as the years go by, you suddenly are awakened, or perhaps not suddenly, you just grow into that naturally, that Jesus is your Savior and your Lord and you trust him. Or it may be that you have walked away from that baptismal covenant, or you've walked away from the conversion experience that you might have had at an evangelistic rally, or sometime when you were in college and some of the parachurch groups were instrumental in helping you in your relationship with Christ. You walked away. You no longer believed in Christ. But then it was that you were brought back. That's what we call a conversion experience. And now you, as a grown man and perhaps a person with a family, have decided that your family needs a church. So there you sit on Sunday morning. You are a part of the congregation. You are a part of the company of the committed. But maybe you've got a long way to go in growing up into the kind of a person that Jesus Christ wants you to be. That's the growth. That's why my friend said, let's put three categories there and call them the company of the committed. Not everybody has come to the same place in their relationship with the Lord. We call that sanctification. I recall one day when I was discussing this with my confirmation classes, and they saw this picture of the church every single year. One of the people in the congregation said to me, are you in the innermost circle? Are you one of those who have grown to the place that you're a number one member of the congregation? I hurried on to say to him, no, I'm still growing. Do you think that there are others in the congregation, the lad went on to say, who may be ahead of you? And I said, there's no question about that. Those who have lived with the Lord Jesus and they have been moved along. They have been more open, perhaps. But you're the pastor, he said. And I said, my ordination certificate did not do anything as far as my relationship with the Lord Jesus is concerned. Well, then how? How do you grow in that relationship with the Lord Jesus? Paul had to struggle with this same thing. You remember he wrote to the Roman church, the good that I want to do, I don't do, and what I don't want to do, I end up doing. That was that struggle with sanctification. Or he said in another place, not that I have already arrived, but I press on to the high calling which I have in Jesus Christ my Lord. It never means that we're going to be perfect while we're on this earth. That old sinful nature is going to manifest itself again and again. But as you and I do a few things like these, we're going to grow in that relationship with God. And there we're going to find ourselves studying the Word of God, taking time to let Jesus Christ speak to us through His Word. The study of the Word of God. You and I will never grow in our faith unless we study the Word of God. That we will be attentive to we'll be faithful in our attendance at a worship service on Sunday morning, where the gospel is preached, and if it isn't being preached, there go someplace where it is being preached. Don't waste your time if it is not being preached there. And you know what the gospel is? The gospel is that Jesus Christ has suffered and died for the sins of the world and has been raised again, and he's coming once more. That's the gospel. You have to hear that every week if you want to grow in the Christian faith. And then surround yourself with a few Christian friends. Not all of your friends have to be Christians, of course not. But you surround yourself with a few of them, and you begin to grow. And here you'll begin to see that the church is made up of all kinds of people, of seekers and respecters and those who have joined for ulterior motives. But the real church, the church that is referred to in our text today as being those who cannot be shaken but will endure, are those who have walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. We look for a church in our day that cannot be shaken. The world, those who do not want to confess any relationship with the church, is hurrying on to say that's what we look for, that's what we're expecting, is a church that cannot be shaken. And yet we read about all these terrible things that are happening in all denominations within the newspaper. Is that the church? No. The church is found within the church. Could a person who loves the Lord Jesus Christ fall in sin? Does every day. But could he fall in one that would be so bad it would make the newspaper? Of course he could. Jesus Christ will forgive him. It is not perfection, but it is growing in the faith. And when you live with these people, you understand, you feel it, you know there's something different about him or her. Where do you find these people? What is their characteristic? Well, the characteristic, for one thing, is that they're led by the Spirit of God. God is leading them, not their own ambitions and desires. They sit back and they say, how would God have me handle this matter? See, God has a real place in that life. They are attentive to the Word of God. They are bold. They are not afraid. When it is time for them to confess Jesus Christ in the right place, at the right time, in the right spirit, they're willing to do it. They're faithful. They are, as the psalmist said, those who will not be shaken. Christ is the one that they stand true to. They are loving. They don't have a haughty spirit. They're not pharisaical. They're not judgmental. They're not going to just really come off the hook and really let you have it. But they'll tell you in love that Jesus Christ alone is a Savior of the world. Where do you find them? Thank God you find many of them in the homes. They're Christian husbands and wives, and they're Christian parents, and there's stability there. I know the church is not everything that it should be, but I thank God for those Christian families that we have in the Church of Jesus Christ today. You find them in the business and the professional world. Doctors, lawyers, teachers, many of them who confess Jesus Christ and give a mighty witness to their faith. You find them in the political world. Sure, we got some shysters. We just read about one who was sent away to jail. But don't forget, we find many men there, and women too, I suppose. I don't know them, who trust Jesus Christ. I think of Senator Chuck Grassley, my senator, committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of Simon, Paul Simon, the man that I went to college with and served in the Senate too. Both on different sides of the aisle, but both men of faith. Are you wondering about the church? The church, my friend, is found within the church. The congregation in your town and mine is made up of people who are not necessarily believers in Jesus Christ, along with those who are. But when you get inside of that church and you begin to examine, you soon find out that those who trust Jesus Christ are those people who cannot be shaken, but they shall endure forever. Amen.
Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things, give heart and
Father in heaven, grant that those of us within the church who confess Jesus as Savior and Lord may not be shaken in our faith, but that we may endure forever. O God in heaven, we ask that you will forgive us as individuals our sins and forgive the church its sins. Help us to understand, O Lord, that we are the body of Christ on this earth, and we have a tremendous responsibility in walking as your children, those who are not shaken, but will endure forever. In your name we pray, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message bring you peace, joy, and strength for the days to come. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of our income. Currently, half of what we spend annually is drawn from past estate gifts. Prayerfully consider us when planning your estate bequests. Our contributors are truly special in this important ministry. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. You can listen to this sermon again, or print out this sermon, or a choice of several hundred sermons. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 40 years.